So we looked at the first 12 verses of James chapter 1. We kind of left this section of scripture that for this week, and we're going to be looking at the prayer of deliverance. So we looked at temptation and trial that we face. The trials that we face, the devil tempts us to sin, but also we face temptation in our everyday life. We face a test of whether we are going to obey God or are we going to obey the lusts of the flesh. And tonight we're going to look at how prayer plays an essential part in our victory over sin and temptation. And tonight, we know that the warfare that we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. And we are in a spiritual battle. And tonight, we are going to learn and be encouraged or maybe be reminded tonight how we need to do spiritual battle in prayer and how the prayer of faith is instrumental in that. Because we know temptation is always from the devil, the temptation to sin. James 1:13 tells us, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Amen. We know that the temptation to sin, to step out of the will of God and the path of God is from the devil and the devil alone. And tonight we're going to learn how we can defeat that. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, James chapter 1 and verse number 5, beginning there and reading down through verse number 8. And if you could follow along as I read tonight. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let's seek the Lord in prayer tonight. Dearly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you that we're able to gather together. We thank you for our visitors being with us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you bless them in their ministry to you. I pray that you would guide us tonight in your word. Help us as we seek your wisdom, dear Lord, as we seek your instruction and seek the tools and the instruction that we need to defeat the devil. Oh, Lord, I pray that tonight our prayer life would be strengthened and encouraged tonight, that we would see the great need. Perhaps we have fallen off from praying as fervently as we could, dear Lord. I pray that we would seek your wisdom and your instruction, and our hearts would be open to it tonight. And, Lord, I pray that our faith would be in you alone and in our communication and fellowship with you. Dear Lord, bless our time together. Give me the words to say this evening and help and hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, message is entitled tonight, The Prayer of Deliverance. The Prayer of Deliverance. And I am on. Okay. Making sure my microphone's on there. But, so there are three areas that we need to recognize, three recognizable things that we begin to see in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so, number one tonight, if you're taking notes, we have to recognize our need. Recognizing our need. There is a universal need for every person who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ for wisdom. Amen. We need heavenly wisdom. We need the wisdom of God's word. And the sooner we realize our inadequacy to do battle with the devil, the better off we will be. When we are doing hand-to-hand combat with the devil, when we are tempted to sin, when we are doing right and walking in the path of righteousness, the devil is going to do all that he can to be our adversary and to get us to step off the path. For when we are step off into sin, then we are defeated at that moment. Now, we are not forever defeated, but we are become ineffectual at that particular moment, and that's exactly what the devil is trying to do, trying to ensnare us, trying to get us out of the battle, even if it's temporarily, so that he can advance his agenda. And the temptations that beset us are strong and targeted. The devil knows exactly your weakness. He knows exactly what to tempt you with, whether it's anger. We look at the lust of the flesh. I mentioned this last week, that many times we limit the lust of the flesh to just immorality or lustful thoughts. Lust is anything that we desire that God does not intend us to have. We can lust after a car. We can lust after a house. We can lust after a better position. We can lust after fame. We can lust after recognition. We can lust after praise. We can lust after money. We can lust, of course, in the sexual way, but we can lust in anything that is of the flesh that
we desire that God does not intend us to have will lead us into sin. Leads us into sin of covetousness. Desiring that which God has not given, instead of being thankful for what you have, you desire what someone else has or that is available. And so I wish I had that. And that is why when we see here in verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Well, God, you know, you hear people say this. Well, I was walking along and God put this in my path and I just couldn't resist. That's not God doing that. That's the devil doing that. And God does not tempt us to sin. But what does he say? He says that he gives us a way of escape from that temptation and that sin. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's what's in his heart, and the devil knows just a lure to put out there to get our heart turned from following Christ to turn to our own way. It doesn't matter if it's his way or our own way. He just wants us to get us into sin. The devil does, so that we can be defeated. He can get an advantage against us. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't get off into that. We'll talk about that a little more another time. But tonight, we need to recognize the need. Hey, if I'm going to walk holy and righteous before God, if I'm going to walk in the power of the Spirit, I'm going to need to pray and ask for wisdom. And it said, if any of you lack wisdom, if we have some spiritual warfare experience, maybe we're an older saint of God, and we have been walking with God, and there's a temptation that comes, we may have the wisdom from God's word. We know the verse to use. We know what to do in that situation. We don't lack wisdom at that moment. But there are times when we are faced with situations that we lack wisdom to know how to combat the temptation, how to fight back against the devil and see the path, the victory. We lack the knowledge and the understanding we lack the wisdom. Amen? And we all get in situations like that. When we get in a situation, Lord, I do not know what to do. What do I do here? And it said, and if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack the ability, if you lack the skill in the Word of God, remember, we can't defeat the devil outside of God's Word, and we can't defeat in our own ability, but we can have wisdom and skill in using God's Word as the sword of the Spirit to do battle, but there are times that we don't know how to battle this. We don't know how to battle this temptation. We don't know how to battle this situation, and we need to go to God. And that's the moment, well, I don't think I know what to do, and there is an instinctual, natural response that is inside of us. How can I figure this out? How can I fix it? What do I do? And we go around and we go to Google, we go to Facebook, we try and figure out how we're going to fix it. We go to our friends, and by the way, if you go to a friend, they better take it back to the Word of God, because you're not going to get anywhere if you try and figure it out on your own, because you're not going to be able to figure it out. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Isaiah 6:5 sums up our need for God's almighty wisdom when Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. Turn over there, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 5. As Christian people, we need to understand that we don't have the ability, and be compared to God's wisdom and God's power, as Isaiah said, I am undone. I am not able. I am not able to stand before God. He fell down on his face and said, I am undone. Why? He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when we realize we should not diminish, the devil and the world love to diminish God's wisdom, in that this is just a dusty old book, that it's just, it's all antiquated, it's not relevant to today, it's as relevant today as it was yesterday and the day before and the centuries past, and it will still be relevant tomorrow and for centuries to come if we have that long before the Lord comes back. It will always be relevant because God's truth is timeless. Now, man's truth phases in and out depending on the day. It used to be by the year, then it went by the month, but now in our technology age, it's by the minute almost. man's truth. I don't know. If you want to see an example of man's truth, you should have watched the House of Representatives today. Unbelievable. I'm not going to get into it. I don't know where it gets so confused. You don't know where the truth is. Amen. I know that, but the Lord promises the truth will come out about what happened. I don't know about it. I have some suspicions, but I don't want to get all conspiracy theory on you. But anyway, it's just really what man's idea, they can look at the same set of circumstances and have five different viewpoints of it, none of which are actually truth, but have all kinds of different conjectures and what I think and this and that. That's all I heard today. Well, I believe after seeing, I think this. And everybody said something different. That's man's truth. You can go to five different people and get five different opinions on things. The wonderful thing about the Word of God and going to God, you're always going to get the same answer. You're going to get the right answer the first time. He doesn't change his mind. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. We are unable to take care of the problems of life. We are unable to stand before the temptations. We're unable to accomplish what God would have us accomplish in our life. And 2 Corinthians 3, 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's where our wisdom is. That's where our instruction is. When we come to this place of inadequacy, we need to come to the one who is our all in all, Jesus Christ. When we come to Jesus Christ, who is able to provide the wisdom that we need to defeat the attack, and so what makes Jesus Christ so specialized and so qualified? Well, first of all, he is the King of all. He is the Lord of glory. He is the creator of all things. He is the Almighty God. But second, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 15 tells us that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We go to Jesus Christ. Lord, how do I combat this temptation? Because he combated the same thing, yet without sin. So he won the victory, amen. He made it through unscathed. He did not depart from the way. Now we know about the immutability of God, that God cannot sin and God cannot lie. But he faced and he gave the right answer and the right response and gave an example. So we go to him and say, Lord, what do we do? And he will give us the answer because he was attacked in the same way. That sets us up for God's answers to our prayers. But in order for our prayer, in our prayer life, we need to have three components. Number one, our prayer must be genuine. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, genuine. We need to have a clean hands and a pure heart before we come to God. We should not come to God, well, I'm in trouble, I need to get out of it. And that's not, we come to God too late instead of when faced with the temptation and faced with that problem. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to combat it. And we get ourselves into trouble, trying to get ourselves into a mess, trying to figure it out. Then we ask God, what do I do? Instead of going to him with a clean hands and pure heart, instead of just being delivered from our consequences, we say, Lord, I don't want any part of sin. I come before you. I need your help. I need your wisdom. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Verse number one. The world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So if we are to come before God, we need to be genuine. We don't need to come half-hearted. We don't need to come with our own motives. We come, Lord, I am yours. I am your servant. I am in need of your blessing. I'm in need of your help. I'm in need of your wisdom. Lord, what am I to do in this situation? You know, the quote that we have in the prayer bulletin this week, I don't know if I have one up here or not. I think I do. Yes, I do. Put that in there from Charles Spurgeon. I'm going to read it now. You are before the Lord. Let your words be few, but let your heart be fervent. We spend so much time talking when we pray, we don't spend enough time listening. We ask, Lord, what is the answer? Because, and we go on and on about the problem instead of just simply state the problem and listen. Listen to the Spirit of God in your heart. Listen for the voice of God. Listen for the leading from his word. We need to have that reliance. You need to have a genuine desire and a genuine and clean hands and a pure heart. Not only that, but also have a fervency. As it says here, let our hearts be fervent. James chapter 5 and verse number 14. James chapter 5, verse number 14 tells us about the prayers of a righteous man. And there's something about a righteous man's prayers. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, wait a minute. Not verse 14. Or verse number 4. Hold on a second. I think I wrote down the wrong reference when I was looking at my cross reference. But the verse is this, that the prayers of a righteous man, the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? Fervency. I think I wrote down the wrong cross reference. I think it was right below there. What's that? 16. Which one? 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 8, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. They may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The one problem being able to type fast is you miss a key every once in a while. All right, there. So we found it. Verse 16. Effectual, fervent, meaning it gets results. It is heard, my God. It has answers to it. It has some fervency. But also the genuineness comes in of a righteous man. Genuine fervent, and also honoring. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 are essential verses. These are key verses for the Christian life. These are key verses. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. That's why you're going to God, because you don't want to lean on your own understanding. But then verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Acknowledge him that he is going to give you the answer. So we need to have a genuine, fervent, and honoring prayer life, and God will answer our prayers. So then also that brings us back to James chapter 1. So first we see recognizing our need, and then we need to recognize God's provision. So we see, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. When we ask God for wisdom, we can expect an immediate and direct reply. We don't need to worry if he's going to answer or not, but only if we are listening for the answer. There are times that we're looking for some profound truth. We are looking for the lightning to split the sky and the clouds to open, and that a great and miraculous truth will descend from the heavens that no one has ever heard before. However, and there's sometimes we find those profound truths, but however, these truths are simple truths that he shares with us. You know, God's truths are miraculous in that they are simple, yet so mighty they topple the most fearsome enemy. They are so simple, they are profound in their simplicity that even a child can follow them. And we make things so complicated, we praise that this is going to be some miraculous, and it is going to be miraculous, by the way. The deliverance of God is always miraculous, but we're going to find this is going to be a profound truth that only a few people know, and then the Lord is going to bring that one verse. You know, you're tempted to do wrong, and that one verse, that one thought, depart from evil and do good. That's it. Amen? And you're just like, wait, I thought I was waiting for this verse and this big, long passage and sermon, but no, it's to depart from evil and do good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Just walk the other way. I'll give you the power to do it. Simple truth. Lord, I'm getting angry. I'm getting angry. Oh, I'm really upset. Cease from anger. Just let it go. Cease from anger. It'll give you the power to walk away. Because we get angry because we have been offended in our pride and our personal. But when you say it's not about us, it's about him, that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, all to the glory of God. Simple truths that get us out of those situations that give us victory. But when we seek this wisdom of God, then he will not withhold, but give it to all men liberally. He's not going to give just, well, I'll just give you part of it, but you have to figure out the rest of it yourself. Give it to all men liberally. He's going to give you exactly what you need. He's going to give and give and give over and over and over again. Why? Because he wants to see you have the victory. He wants to give that to you. But there's a very interesting word here, and abradeth not. Abradeth not. So he giveth all men liberally. I've actually very few times actually heard a preacher explain what abrade means. And abradeth not. Abrade means, well, let me tell you something here. The devil wants us to think that our coming to God is some annoyance to the Almighty God, that we're bothering him, and that we don't need to worry about it, that we are too lowly for him to care about, that he's too busy running the universe to take notice of us, that he'll be angry with us for asking such foolish questions to he who knows all. However, this is not the case. The word abrade means to chide or treat with contempt, meaning God is never going to come to you and say, why are you asking such a stupid question? He's not going to do that. The devil wants you to think that, well, he's just going to be upset with you. You should know this. We don't always have the answer, but no matter how many times we ask, you know what he's going to do? He's going to have love for us and provide for us. He is our loving Heavenly Father, and he is telling us he wants us to come to him and that he wants us to know what to do. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, that he may teach you. Look over there, John 14:26. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we might have instruction and learning and wisdom. Why? So that we would have power to do his will, which is to preach the gospel to every creature, to go and be witnesses. But after that, you shall receive power, Acts 1:7. Oh, we're not going to be able to go out and do the work of God without his power. He gave us the person of the Holy Spirit in our heart at salvation. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That is the wisdom of God. That is the power of God. And we can have access to this if we but ask. All we need to do is ask. All we need to do is pray. Pray that, and that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and would say, and it shall be given him. Very simple promise. It shall be, it will, not could, might, maybe take 10 or 15 years, but shall be given him. However, there is a requirement for God's answer to be given. Verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That brings us to our last point tonight, recognizing our foundation. So we need to recognize our need, recognize God's provision, and then we need to recognize our foundation. When we come to the Lord, we need to understand that he is not one to have... start the sentence over again. When we come to the Lord, we should not come to him lightly. We should not come to him, well, I will try this out and see if it works. What really bothers me is when you see literature, we go out door knocking and we find literature indoors. Give Jesus a try. Right? Give God a try. See if it works for you. I mentioned this several times before. There's a church in our area. They said they have a puzzle, right? And there's a missing jigsaw puzzle piece. And it said, is there something missing in your life? And there's a little puzzle piece over here that says God. That's not how God doesn't fit into our life like that. God is our life. He wants it all, the whole puzzle. He isn't just one little piece there, just fit him in wherever we want to put him in there. He is everything. And when we come to him, we should not try and say, well, I've got two options, or maybe three. I've got what the world says, the psychologist says, and Oprah and everybody else is what they say over here. I have God's word, and then I have what I think. And so, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go see what God has to say over here. I want to diversify my options. I just want to see what the Bible says, and then I'm going to look over here. I'm going to Google it, and then I'm going to just think about it. And in the end, I'm just going to decide which is the best one to do. And God can see your heart when you think like that. And God sees what you're doing. And guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to give you any kind of answer. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because that's not faith. That's not a prayer of faith. What is faith? Life is not about multiple choice. That's what our culture tells us. Well, you know, everything is multiple choice. I mean, we don't have fill-in-the-blank tests anymore, right? They all have multiple choice. And maybe two of them might be true, but as what's really true to you, it's all relative, right? That's what we hear over and over and over again. Relative truth, relativism. Life is not about multiple choice. You take a little wisdom from the world, a little wisdom from God, then add a little of your own thinking for good measure. But let me tell you, it'll never work. It'll always create something ugly. This is the comfortable way to go, but it'll end in disaster. We must be of one mind and one purpose if we are to receive the answer of God. God will not give an answer if you are not serious or intending to do what he tells you to do. This is any area of prayer. When you're praying about God's will for your life, if you're not intending to do it in the first place, he's not going to tell you what he wants you to do. Amen? Because we aren't submitted. Our heart isn't open to hear the wisdom of God. We must be of the one mind. However, he delights in instructing and helping those that genuinely seek him. Now, we looked at Psalm 24. Let's look back over there. Psalm 24 and verse number 6. We're going to come right back to James chapter 1, but Psalm 24 and verse number 6. And so we looked at what the requirements are to come before God, a clean hands and a pure heart. But what is the end result of that person, that righteous person? Psalm 24, verse number 6. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. This is the generation that seeks God's face. Genuinely, fervently, and in an honoring way. They have faith. Why do they do this? Psalm 119:2 tells us that as well. Don't go to God expecting him to give a different answer than his word. God never changes. His word never changes. Only the heart of man changes. And either we will change our heart to agree with what God says, or we will change what God says so that it agrees with our hearts. And we see that today. We see churches completely based on that. That, well, we just want to be acceptable for today. We want to accept the agendas of the day and the culture of today. God changes with the culture. And people that say that haven't read the Bible. God doesn't change with the culture. God has wiped cultures off the face of the earth because they went against him. God brings judgment over cultures that go against his word and his truth and his principles. Now, what happens when we do see that? And, you know, be honest with you, the last is easier to do. Our heart is desperate, the wicked is deceitful. Who can know it? In that when we go to God, we must have an open heart to God. God, I don't have wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. You just tell me whatever you tell me. I'm going to take it as truth. I'm not going to digest it and make it the truth I want to make it. But doing that is easy to do. It is easy to be honest with ourselves. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know? They can easily say tell you what you want to hear. Well, God said it. We run into that all the time. And the devil wants to, oh, yes, that's what God meant. And he tries to twist it around in our mind and work it around. By the way, if you hear the word of God and you hear the truth of God and God gives you the answer, don't spend a whole lot of time just sitting there thinking about it. Just do it. Amen. Because the devil will talk you out of it sooner than anything. If you sit there and think on it, and he'll say, well, you know, well, is that really applying this situation? God gave it to you. It applies. Amen. We may not understand it all, but we need to do it. But don't go to God expecting him to give that different answer. But don't be the unstable person who can never seem to find stability because they keep seeking the way that agrees with them. That is what we see here in James chapter 1 in the following verses, verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you don't have the prayer of faith, what is the prayer of faith? Well, let me ask a question here tonight. Here is a question for you. I had a question here. I think part of my sermon got deleted. There it is. Nope, it's not there. Anyway, I'm going to have to recall it. See, the devil's in the electrons, I'm telling you. But here's a question. So when you seek the Lord, are you expecting, are you planning to obey whatever he tells you to do? Are you planning to? That you're going to hear what he goes to tell you and that you're going to, whatever he tells you, you're going to do it? Or when you go to him, you are not 100% convinced that God's truth is the only truth. Two questions. If you say, well, no, I'm not convinced God's truth is the only truth, then you don't have faith in God. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved, but you're not having faith and trust in Him and His wisdom, because if you don't have that faith, but let Him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you waver, say, well, I'm not sure if this is really what I need to do. Amen. And it's all too often, brother, isn't it? It's too often sometimes. And say, well, I don't know, maybe, man, you know, the Bible, I understand it's God's word, but is it really, really what I need? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And when we have that seed of doubt in our heart, then we are not having faith, because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at Hebrews 11:6. Do I realize that God, or do I believe that God has the only answer for every situation in my life? Do I really believe that? Ask yourself that question. Do I really believe that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. We need to have faith, because anything that's not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently means over, consistently, over and over again. But also in every situation, diligently meaning when you're faced with these situations, you come to God every time. It's automatic. You just come to Him. And so that's the only place I can get my wisdom and my instruction and the victory. I'm just coming to You. Do I believe that God has the only answer for every situation in life? When people come to me for counseling, and I ask them this question right off the bat, because if they don't answer this question right, there's no use in me going on. Because I get my truth from the Word of God. I don't get it from Psychology Today. Amen? We go to the Word of God, and they come to my office and say, well, we have this problem, whether it's in our marriage, or I have this addiction, or I have this problem. I said, I have a question for you, and you think very carefully before you answer this, because Christians give the pat answer, well, of course, but they really don't mean it. And I said, what? You can tell me the truth, whether you do or not. This very question, do you believe that God's Word has the only answer, not an answer, the only answer for the situation that you're facing in your life? Think about that for a moment. Do you know what I get 90% of the time when people are really honest? They say no. They say no. I said, well, then we need to establish the authority of the Word of God, and that God is the source, only source of truth, and that we need to get down. And by the end, I ask them the question. I take them through the Scriptures, how that God's Word is perfect, and God is all wisdom, and that man's wisdom is corrupted by sin. And then I ask them the question, do you believe that God's Word has the only answer for the situation you're facing in your life? And if they say yes, I said, do you really believe it? I said, yes. Are you willing to die for that answer? Yes. Then we can continue with counseling. If they say no, I said, there's nothing more we need to talk about, because whatever I tell you, you won't believe anyway. And there are some people who say, well, I'll go somewhere, someplace else. That's sad, because the only truth we have is right here. And it gives every answer to every situation. But when I come to God in prayer, am I expecting Him to answer? Or are we just doing it because we know that's what we're supposed to do? Well, I'll pray real fast, but I don't think it's going to help. I'll just pray about it and get that wisdom, but I don't think it's going to help. No, if you don't expect an answer, you're sure not going to get one. You know, the old saying goes, if you don't aim for anything, you're sure going to hit it. But if you believe that God will answer you, and will give you that wisdom because He has promised in His Word, you're taking the promise of God, as I have 100% confidence in this, that He is going to give me the answer that I need. And do I intend to obey and apply the answer that He gave me? If the answer is yes to all of that, man, you're lined up for blessing and victory and amen. But if there's a no to any of the three questions I said there, then there is a lack of faith in your life. And if you don't have that, you have faith in something else, because we all have faith in something. Even the atheist has a faith in something, in himself. Everybody believes, has a belief and faith in something. The Buddhists believe in Buddha. The Hindus believe in their millions of gods. The Muslims believe in Muhammad and the Quran. And everybody has a belief system. So I don't believe in anything. That's impossible. We all have to believe in something. That's how God made us. But right here, that unstable person that says, I'm not 100% convinced, but I am convinced that there's still some good over here. I'm still think, yeah, this maybe is something that God's word says is wrong, but there's still some good in it. It can still do a good thing. No, it can't, because it's a lie. The devil wants us to think that sinful things are good. He wants to call evil good and good evil. He wants to switch the definitions around. Isn't that what he has done? He has switched the definitions of gender and all kinds of things around and say, hey, this is okay. God says it's not okay. Don't be the unstable person who can never seem to find stability because they keep seeking the way that agrees with them. They seek God in prayer. Then they go to the other things, or they go to other things first. They lean on their own understanding. The Bible says lean not. How do we avoid that? Well, number one, you need to seek God in prayer. What is the wisdom that you are faced with a dilemma? Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's a decision. You need to seek God in prayer. Second, you need to search the scriptures, because God has a lot to say about every area of life. Relationships, children, husband and wives, business, church, you name it. It's there. And everything in between. Friendships. We search the scriptures and we find every verse that has to do with that. That's why you have a concordance. Amen. We praise God for all those people. I just think of the Strong's Concordance and I look at that thing. I said, praise God for Brother Strong that did that. Amen. I mean, that was a lifetime of work, literally. All the cross references and the treasury of scripture knowledge and all of that. I mean, God bless them. I don't know how they did that. You know, you look at all the tools that we have available to for free. Don't have to buy the book. Go online and find it all. And you look at Knave's Topical Bible, Strong or Thompson Chain Reference. If you don't have to have the Bible now, you can just go online and use it for free. And just look up a topic of that, and you have a line of verses. Guess what? You'll spend a long time studying doing that. So, well, I just can't find the verse that applies. And guess what? You don't want to find the verse. You know what? That people that didn't know they had all those tools and didn't know how to use them, they just start reading the Bible through. They just start reading Proverbs. They start reading somewhere. They just write it all the way through. Read all the way through until they find the answer they need. Amen? We need more Christians like that. And then along the way, you find a lot of other answers you didn't know you needed answers to. Amen? Need to search the scriptures. Seek counsel from your pastor. Seek counsel from those that walk with God. Because guess what? Seeking counsel saves you from a lot of problems, because things that look good to you, or maybe you think you're going in a good direction, someone looking from the outside looks at the Word of God and said, did you consider this? No. Well, did you consider this? But we don't like people raining in our parade. Man, we don't like that. You know, that's why when we get married, you know, your spouse is going to rain on your parade every once in a while. You haven't experienced that yet. It's okay. No, but you will, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm so glad my wife has rained on a lot of my stupid ideas. Okay, she's like, you know, wives just have a way of doing this in a loving and gentle way, of just letting you know, and they're really trying to help you. They're trying to stop you from making an idiot out of yourself. Okay, they're really trying to help, and we think it's a great idea because we know all the problems, but we don't like to think about the problems, all the possibilities. But reality sets in. Are we seeking God? Are we seeking His Word? And if His Word says, well, we ought not do this and we ought to do this, and it's not lining up with God's Word, it's not lining up with the witness of the Spirit when we pray, it's not lining up with the counsel that we're receiving. By the way, you can know, and when you go to God, when you go to the Word and they agree, then you go to your counselors, they all agree with the Word of God, you better pay attention when it agrees with God, the Word of God, and the counsel. Now, are counselors perfect? No. We're human beings. Are we perfect? Do we know all things? No. But if we're going to the Word of God and trusting in God's Word, we can never go wrong. Those are the type of counselors you need to go to, not ones that will tell you what you want to hear, but what God's Word says. And sometimes counselors say, I don't know. You know, we've all gone to people. I've gone to pastors and people that have been in the ministry for many years about a situation or different situations. Like, what do I do? I don't know. I've never been faced with that situation. It's a great. Do you know someone who has? Jesus. And the Lord, He knows. And sometimes that's all we have, is to go to Him in prayer and in His Word. That's all we have, but that's all we need. But those that are unstable, one minute they're doing things God's way, the next they're doing it their way, the next they're doing it the world's way, the next they're back to doing it God's way. They're unstable because they're not convinced that God's way is the only way. They don't have faith in God's wisdom, therefore God does not reveal His wisdom to them. He only reveals Himself to those who seek Him with their whole heart. But why do they seek Him with a whole heart? Why do the righteous seek Him with a whole heart? Why? Because they believe that only God has the answer. When we get to a place that we trust only in the answers God gives us, then we will truly be blessed. We'll have the victory, we'll have guidance, we'll have wisdom, and what a blessed place it is to live. But only if we choose to live there. So tonight, where is your prayer life? Is it the prayer of faith? Or is it the prayer of multiple choice? Well, I'll see what God has to say about it, and I'll decide, no, it doesn't work that way. If you have that mentality, then there is a problem in your heart and your mind. You have believed the lie of the devil that God does not have all the answers. But we would never say that. I said, well, that doesn't sound good. I mean, it sounds blasphemous coming out of my mouth. It is. Because it's a lie. The devil is a father of lies. But so many believe it when they come to a pastor or they come to someone or they hear preaching and they hear the Word of God and they read it and they see it and the Bible is clear and it's direct, and then people say, well, you know, I really don't think that's what it's saying. I don't think it's saying that, brother. I just don't see it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I just don't think that's what it's saying. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Brother, that's so subjective. I don't think that's what it's saying. And I've had people say these different things when you knock on the door and everything. Well, you people, you Baptists believe. No. It's we believe the Word of God. You Baptists believe this. And, you know, I just don't think that's what God's Word says. I said, well, what part? And one said, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I said, well, I don't think it's really saying that, you know, because now we're in the age of grace and go through all these things. Yes, we're under grace and we're under the new covenant, but God's Word and God's moral law is still God's moral law. It hasn't changed any. And we need to make sure that we're following the commands of God. But also, didn't Jesus repeat that? He added to it. He said, don't even lust in your heart. You're doing the same thing. He added to it because the law dealt with only the outward, but Jesus dealt with the heart of the matter, with the heart of man. So where's your heart tonight? Do you have the heart of faith? Do you have that heart that is fixed on Christ, seeking for that wisdom at every moment? And you know, to be honest with you, there are many times during the day that we should have sought God's wisdom and didn't because we thought we could handle it. We need to submit ourselves. I can't handle it. I need God's wisdom in every situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you bless our invitation. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would seek your wisdom. We would seek your instruction by faith. And that we would see it as the only answer, the only direction, the only instruction. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this evening. We pray that you would bring the blessing. We pray that if any here tonight, maybe they've been struggling with this very question. And at times we struggle, Lord. Pray that you forgive us for that. And Lord, that we submit ourselves to you and reestablish that faithful commitment in our heart and in our life. Maybe we have had a lack of prayer. Maybe we've had a lack of wisdom, whatever the case may be. We have lacked in our asking and we have not had the faith to receive. I pray that you would correct those things in our life tonight, and that we would seek you with a humble heart and see restoration in our relationship with you. Pray that you bless our invitation time tonight as we give you all the glory for all that is done this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.